you all for coming tonight. Now, pay attention. You listening? I have suggested to our brother Jim that 1 week from next Thursday, the 24th of February, right after the morning Bible hour, load in the van and drive down to Hudson, Florida to Word of Life, and you will be in on the wedding celebration. Good idea? You like it? All right. There you are, Brother Jim. Pack a little bag lunch and bring a little extra for me. And we'll all celebrate together. 24th of this month. Now, there are a few of my books there, but I'm going to recommend something tonight. Some of you are leaving tomorrow. Your vacation, your holiday has come to an end for this particular conference. And before you leave, if you do not have in your home some excellent Bible teaching material on the Psalms, you must get these two volumes by my friend John Phillips. Since Spurgeon wrote his Treasury of David, in my judgment, nothing has been printed in the English language to compare with these two volumes by John Phillips on the Psalms. If you just read one a day, what a treat it would be. They're for sale in the book room. Take a set home with you. Make a lovely gift. Put it away for a future birthday anniversary, graduation present, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Christmas. Just get them while you can, and Dr. Phillips will be glad to autograph them for you. He and I have been friends for a long time, and I was just delighted today to go down to the airport and welcome him back here. So you'll get to know him and love him during this week. Get the Psalms, please. If you have nothing at home in the Psalms, leave it for your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren if the Lord doesn't come. This is a set you need in your home. Now open your Bible, please, to the 8th chapter of the Gospel according to John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 8. Now on the 24th, you will meet the lady. God changed her nature, and I'm changing her name. That'll be on the 24th. Now, John chapter 8. We'll begin with verse 33. In this beginning, in the middle of a paragraph here, but that's all right. We'll catch up as we go along. Now let us pray. Our loving Father, we thank Thee for all the blessings of the Christian gospel. We thank Thee for the completed work of our Lord. We thank Thee for His continuing ministry in our behalf now. And we thank Thee for His contemplated ministry as we look for His coming again. We thank Thee for the Holy Scriptures. Thank You for the presence of its author in our midst tonight, even the Spirit of God Himself. May He move among us, up and down the aisles, in and out the rows, to bring to bear upon the conscience of each one of us some nugget of truth from Thy great storehouse of wealth that will not merely challenge us, but change us. And to Thee we shall ascribe all the praise, the honor, the glory, and the majesty, for we ask it in His worthy name. Amen. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't say thank you to those who invited me and for those who supported the meetings. They've been well attended all of this week. John chapter 8. I'm going to read beginning with verse 33. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou you shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, amen, amen, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, for the Son abideth forever. And if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. They answered him and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth. Will you mark those two words, the truth? Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh, not a lie, but the definite article there, when he speaketh the lie, he speaketh of his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of it. A modern translation has it, the father of lies. I accept the King James translation at this particular point. He's the father of it, a particular lie. The greatest lie that's ever been told, and people are still believing it. Now you have two things in contrast here, the truth and the lie. And we're told that the devil is the father of this particular lie. Now we have to discover what it is and how it commenced. Turn in your Bible now to Isaiah chapter 14, the 14th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah. And I'm reading from verse 12. Isaiah 14:12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart. Now mark these five significant I wills. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Now this last I will is the epitome of blasphemy. I will be like the Most High. I will be like God. I will be a God unto myself. And this is where the lie commenced. In the spirit world. With the devil, a spirit being, where in his heart he dethroned God and deified himself. That's where the big lie commenced. It's very popular today, oh, I can get along without God. I don't need God. Don't need your church. Don't need your Bible. I can get along without God. It's called the New Age movement, but we're going to look at the book of Genesis and see it's the old age movement with a new label. Turn back to Genesis chapter 3. Now remember what the lie is. It is deifying self and dethroning God. Genesis chapter 3. Now we dealt with this in a little different light on the study of the fatherhood of God. Tonight we want to see it in the light of this lie that originated with devil. It commenced in the spirit world. It continues on planet earth in the human race. Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Now don't let anyone tell you that this is figurative language and is not meaningful. If you want to know who the serpent is, turn to Revelation chapter 12. He is the devil. One of the many names and titles for the devil. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. God didn't say that. She added something to the word of God, and she changed something in the word of God. Don't ever do that. Add nothing to it, take nothing from it, change nothing in it. The serpent said unto her, you shall not surely die. That's one of the lies in the Bible. It is true that the devil said it, but what he said is not true. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. Now watch this. And you shall be as gods. Did you ever wonder why? That's in the plural number with a small g. Gods? What about the men who gave to us the King James Version of the Bible? May I remind you that they were brilliant scholars. They knew the languages. Hebrew, Aramaic, Latin, Greek. They did a good job in the translation. Why did they translate this? You shall be as gods. In the Hebrew Bible, the word is Elohim, translated gods. Chapter 1, verse 1 of Genesis. In the beginning, God. Same word, Elohim. That's a Hebrew plural. In the beginning, the tri-personal God. When they gave to us the word gods in the plural number, they were adhering strictly to syntax. That's no mistake. Had they given us the sense, I think, they might have said, you will be like God. And so the lie invades the human race. It was bought by our first parents. And ever since then, people have been deceived by the big lie. What is the lie? What's he telling Mother Eve? You can make it without God. God's hard on you. He's making demands upon you that are unreasonable. If God really loved you, he wouldn't allow anything to come into your life that would hurt you. God's placing restrictions on you. I tried it. It worked. I'm a God unto myself. I can get along without God. That's the lie. It invaded the human race. Now, turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Acts, Romans. In Romans, Paul is not preaching the gospel to sinners. He's teaching the gospel to saints. Believers ought to know what the gospel is. We had an evangelist coming to Philadelphia some years ago, and about midway through the week of meetings on one of the large churches on Broad Street in the city of Philadelphia, one of the members of the committee said, I am not sure this young evangelist knows what the gospel is. We brought him here to preach the gospel. And the committee said, it's about time we ask him. It's a little late. We brought him here on his reputation. And so they began to quiz him. One of the men said to him, will you please tell us what the gospel is? He said, well, the gospel's a gospel. He said, yes, we know that, but you still haven't told us what it is. He said, everybody knows what the gospel is. We want you to tell us what the gospel is. That young evangelist did not know what the gospel was. We better know what it is. Paul's teaching the gospel to saints. He said in verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, or to the Gentile. For therein, wherein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now we have the righteousness of God revealed. Now look at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth. Mark the words, the truth, in your Bible. To hold the truth here is to hold down the truth, to suppress the truth. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. Did you ever wonder what is in man that makes him responsible to God? Turn over to chapter 2 and verse 15. Paul said, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience. God gave to every one of us conscience. Conscience, the prefix con with, science, knowledge. My dear friend, God put something in every one of us. We have knowledge. Do we live up to that knowledge? Not only did God give to us conscience, but God gave to us His marvelous creation. Back up to verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Read Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Creation, conscience, and then came Christ. And Paul is now preaching the gospel of Christ, who died and ascended into heaven when this epistle was written. A threefold revelation from God, and man has knowingly, intentionally, deliberately failed to respond to all that God has sent his way. Creation, conscience, Christ. Now the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Verse 21. They are without excuse because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. They shut God out of their lives. Wanted no part of Him. The witness of creation, the witness of their conscience, and the witness of Christ. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Any person who determines to live without God, the Bible says you're a fool. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore? Whenever you find a wherefore, pause and ask yourself, what is that wherefore there for? And you'll find it goes back to something that has just been said. Wherefore? Because of the revelation God gave to them of Himself. God gave them up. And remember, friends, God did not give them up until they gave God up. God gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now watch this and mark it in your Bible. Who changed the truth of God into, not a lie, but into the lie, and worshiped and served the creature or the created being rather than the Creator. Self-worship. I'm a God unto myself. I can get along without God. For this cause, for which cause? For the cause that they exchange the truth for the lie. What is the lie? Don't need God. I can dethrone God and deify myself. I'll be God unto myself. God gave them over unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. That's the sin that God hates and judges, the sin of homosexuality. I said God hates it and God judges it. I'm a citizen of the United States of America. I'm loyal to my country. But for the first time in the history of my country, we have a president who promotes homosexuality. I think God gives a nation what it deserves. We've been going down the tube for a long time, dear friends. We're getting what we deserve. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. What is a reprobate mind? A mind that is void of sound judgment. You dethrone God, my friend, and deify yourself. You can't come to sound conclusions. Your mind is warped. You have thrust out of your life the only knowledge that can help you and me and save us. The knowledge of God found within the confines of the Word of God. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. A mind unable to use sound judgment. We're in deep trouble in this world. Deep, deep trouble. Today, boys and girls in school, young people in high school, in our colleges and universities are taught we can get along without God. I read a book not long ago by a psychologist. He's a Christian. He discovered something in one of the pagan philosophers called self-esteem. And he wrapped a scripture verse around that pagan philosophy and wrote a book, How to Build Self-Esteem into Your Children. I was ashamed when I read that book. It was written in God's name. My friends, we are born with a built-in self-esteem system. We all think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. The Bible does not teach building self-esteem into the lives of our children. We're born with it. Our children and young people need to come to God through faith in Christ. And every person who ever came face to face with the living Christ was left without self-esteem. Isaiah chapter 6, he said, I saw the Lord. When Isaiah saw the Lord, he saw himself, not filled with self-esteem. He said, I am a sinful man, a man of unclean lips. He saw the Lord, and the one Isaiah saw is the Lord Jesus. You read it in John chapter 12. Peter, when he saw the Lord, he said, Depart from me, I'm a sinful man. He wasn't filled with self-esteem. When John had a full-length portrait of Christ in Revelation chapter 1, he said, I fell at his feet as dead. No self-esteem. When Paul, as a Christian, wrote Romans chapter 7, he said, In me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I am a wretched man. He had a fresh glimpse of the Lord Jesus. The teaching of self-esteem is contrary to the Word of God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He that exalteth himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Let not any one of us think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Your children, your grandchildren are born into this world sinners. They're loaded with self-esteem. I have 6 grandchildren and 7 great-grandchildren. Those proud little critters came into the world with a nature just like their grandfather and their great-grandfather. Somebody said to one of my grandsons who graduated with high honors from college, said, Steve, where'd you get your smarts? Did you get that from your father? Steve said, no, I got it from my grandfather. He doesn't have his anymore. I never did have it. I thought I had it until Christmas Day, 1927, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when I met Jesus Christ, and I fell on my knees and I wept. Self-esteem? Where in the Bible are you told to teach your children to be filled with self-esteem? You don't find that in the Scriptures, dear friend. You need God. Your children, mine, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, they need to know the Lord Jesus Christ until they know that they're sinners. They'll never see their need of Christ. Do you see what the lie does? The New Age movement is simply you're a God unto yourself. You have it within yourself. You can make it. Sorry, friends, we can't make it without God. I don't know about you, but I can't get along without Him. The longer I live, the older I get, the more I need God in my life. Let's turn to see how and when this lie reaches the climax. We saw when it commenced and how it continues. Turn with me now to 2 Thessalonians, and please find chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, is that the day of Christ or the day of the Lord is at hand. The Christians in Thessalonica had been told that they were in the tribulation. And somebody might have written a letter and signed Paul's name. No, they said a letter as from a... Paul said, I never wrote a letter like that. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Who is the man of sin? Satan incarnate. The Antichrist. Jesus Christ is the seed of the woman. The Antichrist is the seed of Satan. What's he do? He opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God. That's the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. Showing himself that he is God. Paul said, remember not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. It's in the present continuous sense. I kept telling you these things. Now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. The mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now lets or hinders will let or hinder until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. This is a tribulation scene when the Antichrist appears to take over the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. And he presents himself as God. Satan is always the imitator, never the innovator. Presenting himself as God. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with power, signs, wonders, performs miracles. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish or are perishing. Now watch this. Mark your Bible now. Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, for which cause? For the cause that they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe not a lie, but the lie. What is the lie? It's demonstrated right here in this chapter. I can get along without God. And finally, the lie reaches its climax when Satan incarnate in the person of the Antichrist presents himself to the nation of Israel and to many others. I am God. You worship me. Now those who do that during the tribulation will not have an opportunity to get saved after the tribulation is over. By the way, it is not impossible that someone came to the meeting tonight who has never been saved, never been born again. You've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. This chapter is very clear in its teaching that if you knowingly, deliberately reject Christ and the rapture occurs tonight, this passage tells us that you can't get saved tomorrow. You can't. You say, why can't I? Because God won't let you. Why not? He just told you in the Bible. Verse 11. For the cause that you received not the love of God, that you could be saved, God will send you a strong delusion that you should believe the lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. If you're here tonight unsaved and you think you have a second chance if the rapture occurs tonight, you'll have to tell me why the poor souls in hell shouldn't have another chance. Why should you? Why should anyone? No, there's no gospel of a second chance. It's now or never for the unsaved. Well, the lie reaches its climax during the tribulation period. Now, people say, well, will anyone be saved during the tribulation? Yes. Turn back to Matthew 24 for just a moment, please. Matthew chapter 24. In the Olivet Discourse, you'll find a statement, and some of our friends who are not pre-tribulation rapturists have mistranslated this verse or pulled out of this verse something that God never put in it. In Matthew 24 and verse 14 we read, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Someone has said that the church cannot be raptured until all the world hears the gospel, and they use this verse to support it. Now, I have, on more than one occasion in my visits here, have tried to point out that the end in verse 14 is the end of the tribulation. Verse 21, then shall be great tribulation. Verse 29, immediately after the tribulation. The gospel will be preached during the tribulation, but not to those who rejected Christ before the rapture. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 7 for just a moment. Revelation chapter 7. Lest you think that God is hard and cruel, and God arbitrarily consigns people to hell without a chance. No, no. That's not the God of the Bible, dear friends. Revelation chapter 7. This is how and when people will be saved during the tribulation. 12 tribes in Israel, and they're to have representatives during the tribulation. Verse 2, Revelation 7. I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them that were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel, 12,000 from the tribe of Judah, 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben, 12 from the tribe of Gad, Asher, verse 6, Nephilim in verse 6, Manasseh in verse 6, the tribe of Simeon in verse 7, the tribe of Levi, verse 7, the tribe of Issachar, tribe of Zebulun, verse 8, 12,000 of the tribe of Joseph were sealed, 12,000, of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. What are these servants doing? Just look. Verse 13. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They are the saved during the tribulation. Yes, they're the people who never heard the gospel. There's no gospel of a second chance for anyone in this room tonight. Please don't leave unsaved and say, I'll take my chances. I can get along without God. Turn with me, please, to Revelation chapter 20. Would you like to see the culmination of the great lie, the great deceiver? I'm reading from verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. Now, the millennium is definitely in this chapter. There's a beginning and an ending to the 1,000 years. Don't spiritualize the 1,000 years. That's a literal 1,000 years. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, nor had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Has to be a literal 1,000 years. Had a beginning, it had an ending. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such, the second death hath no power. Did you notice that phrase, the second death? Look across your Bible, verse 14. See it? Second death. Look at chapter 21, verse 8, the second death. That means the second kind of death. There's spiritual death and physical death. The second kind of death is the spiritual death, eternal separation from God. Who's going to pay the price? Who's going to suffer here? Now let's look at verse 10. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That is the end of the lie. One day, Satan will be cast into hell forever. This simple presentation tonight is a solemn warning, dear friends, that you need God, and the only way to know God is through Jesus Christ, who said, I and the Father are one. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Have you trusted the Savior? I hope you have. Let us pray. Loving Father, we thank Thee for Thy holy word. Lord, teach us how to submit our minds to Thee and to learn in a very practical way that we cannot get along without Thee. May no one leave this service tonight trusting in the arm of flesh, trusting in material wealth, trusting in good health they may have temporarily. God, help us to see that we need Thee as our helper. And Lord, if anyone is here who has never been saved, please help that one to trust the Savior tonight. We ask this in His worthy name with thanksgiving. Amen.